I have to admit that the last few years have been good ones for this canal. We all get wiser with age, Henry keeps telling me. It was like it had grown up, knew what it was doing, found its place in the scheme of things. The dividend started to rise too. £5 in 1840, and getting close to that each of these last 3 years. I began to think that Henry had been right all along. I even enjoyed coming here to see the horses. Magnificent creatures they are. One of them, on their own, can haul a boat weighing 50 tons at a steady pace of 1 or 2 miles an hour. The water does a lot of the work for them, of course, and once a barge is moving, its own momentum pretty much keeps it going. But still. And if you get down here at the crack of dawn, you can see them being watered, fed and harnessed ready for their journey. But you won't see any now, because the canal is closed again for lack of water, and it has been for months. There are those who come into the shop who tell me that its days are numbered, that this new form of transport, the railway, is coming ever closer, that already there are carriers taking corn from Rutland to the new railway station at Leicester and returning with coal. I tried to tell him, Henry, but he won't listen.
We're getting old, Catherine. Let the railways come if they must and do what they will. Let us just enjoy this canal and the money that it is bringing that will last us through to the end of our days.
We're going to retrace some of our footsteps now as we walk back the way we came, with the water on our right. And that will bring us back to the fields with the canal off behind the trees to our left. It's about a 10-minute walk in all, which gives us time to tell the last and most dramatic chapter of the story of the Oakham Canal. Come on! If you look through the Canal Company minute books between May 1831 to February 1843, there are no less than 40 references to this man, who you may recognise.
They cut down my bushes. They ruined my crops. They're damaging my property.
Lord Harborough. But in 1844, he was to come across another man who was equally belligerent, George Hudson.
The Railway King, as I have become known, chairman of the Midland Counties Railway. And we desire to build a line from Syston to Peterborough, which will bring the benefits of this miraculous form of transport to Oakham. We wish to meet the Canal Company, to talk to them of our plans, in the hope that we can proceed with our work in an amicable manner.
In 1830, the Liverpool and Manchester Railway had opened, the world's first intercity passenger route. The canal mania of the late 18th and early 19th century that had seen the birth of this canal was to give way to railway mania. Just as with the canals, railway companies, and anybody could form one, had to submit a bill to Parliament to gain the right to acquire land for the line, which required the route of the proposed railway to be approved. And as many members of Parliament were heavy investors in these schemes, most of the bills passed. Part of the line that was being planned by Hudson for this railway was to go through Lord Harborough's estate at Stapleford Park. But Harborough was fiercely opposed to the idea. If a canal was troublesome, then a railway could only be worse, noisier, dirtier. Uglier.
And with the emergence of this appalling Chartist movement, demanding the vote for every man, regardless of their wealth or social position, it is clear that such a form of transport offers the opportunity for the lower orders to move at speed across the country to congregate and promote insurrection.
Lord Harborough made it clear to Hudson that his surveyors would not be allowed entrance onto his land. And so, to avoid any trouble, they instead walked along the towpath of this canal, which was the beginning of a story that was to gain national attention, and which requires, I think, a suitable telling with suitable music.
The Battle of Saxby Bridge.
Picture the scene. A canal towpath. This canal towpath. A group of seven men coming this way. Lord Harborough's gamekeeper.
Mr. Todd.
Hurrying from the other with a small group of fellows.
We are the surveyors of the Midland Counties Railway, and you have no right to prevent us from carrying out our duties. We are not trespassing on this path.
And I have a pistol in my pocket and will not let you pass.
You must.
I won't.
You will.
Get back.
And with Mr. Todd producing an old and rusty pistol, the surveyors...
all of them found themselves piled up in my cart.
An indignity made worse, the papers said, when the justice was found not to be in, and Mr. Todd, tipping up the cart, unceremoniously deposited the surveyors onto the ground.
And don't think of ever coming back to Rutland again.
That was just the beginning.
Of course we're going back. I'm not letting that ridiculous man get the better of us. This time we'll make sure that we're better prepared. I'll pay for a body of navvies and some prize fighters from Nottingham to do some surveying too.
And so now battle truly commenced. Lord Harborough assembling a large group of men and constructing barricades at Saxby Bridge.
We must stop these surveyors and their mob getting through.
The moment arrived. The two sides assembled.
And both were met by the recently formed county police.
Lay down your clubs and cudgels. We will arrest the first person who commits an assault.
We must be permitted to carry out our work.
They are not welcome here.
We must.
You won't.
We will.
Get back.
Well, you can push against each other and see what occurs. But no weapons, none.
And so the sides took root, the paper said. Lord Harborough's nearest to Melton. The surveyors on the Oakham side of things. The railwayists exerted their utmost strength, but so firmly did his lordship's party retain their ground that more than one was actually forced high in the air, rolling over the heads of the contested party.
Others were forced through the hedge, tumbling over each other and nearly filling the ditch beneath, amidst the shouts of the leaders and laughter of the numerous and swelling spectators.
Great confusion now ensued.
The two parties mixing together,
and in the tumult and dirt, the paper said, becoming almost indistinguishable from each other.
Every reader of those lines that were printed in the Times was fascinated by this conflict between the landed gentry and these new upstart industrialists.
Of whether the individual landowner would triumph against a large business operation,
or whether entrepreneurialism would be allowed to win through.
I believe, sir, that the issue may be resolved.
The policeman's report read.
A truce has been called, with both sides agreeing that the temperature should be lowered and that nothing further should occur before the upcoming police hearings in Melton.
Yet Hudson changed his mind, deciding that given their right to survey the land, they should ignore the agreement and proceed.
And with Lord Harborough discovering their intentions, a letter was swiftly dispatched.
I beg to give you notice, though I much dislike physical force, that we are fully prepared for you. We have barricaded the towing path and have in readiness a few cannons from my yacht.
If you force us to use them as a last resort, the blood be upon your heads.
Hudson was unmoved.
We'll send a small party of men to attack the towing path near Melton, whilst 100 of our men, and make sure they have white tape in their buttonholes to distinguish them, will climb over the palings with the surveyors onto Harborough's land.
Of course, we were waiting for them.
With a sizeable contingent of men, the papers said.
And a fire engine with which to pump water onto the intruders.
This is where battle once again commenced, a more violent affair than before.
The noise being so great that it was heard in the village 2 miles off.
The spikes of the railway party, the papers said, were thrust into the sides of the defenders of the park.
And after a battle of about 5 minutes and many broken heads, wounded sides and faces, the lower grade of the intruders gave way.
And the noise having brought together more parties of his lordship's men, it was evident that we, the railwayists,
must beat a retreat.
It transpired that each of Harborough's troops was paid 2 shillings and 6 pence for their involvement in our little war.
Charges were pressed, men were imprisoned, and the bad blood continued as Lord Harborough made life as difficult as he could for the Midland Counties Railway.
Those with money and power can always find ways to be obstructive.
And although this was his battle and not that of the Oakham Canal Company, they, for once, were very sympathetic to his cause, seeing that if the railway was to be built, this would affect the total destruction of the trade of the Oakham Canal.
The Canal Company tried to organise parliamentary opposition to the Midland Railway Act that was going before Parliament. They tried to have a compensation clause inserted into the bill.
And, in the end, we decided that the easiest thing to do was to buy them out and have done with it. That, if successful with our application, £26,000 and 200 new shares of £40 each in the Midland Railway Company would be placed at the disposal of the Oakham Canal Company. There wasn't much opposition. In fact, even their treasurer gave evidence supporting us.
The canal is an uncertain means of conveyance, given the problem it has always had with water.
And so, on the 30th of June, 1845, the Act for the Syston to Peterborough line received the royal assent. And at the Canal Company's annual meeting, on the 6th of April, 1846, the sale of the canal was unanimously approved by the shareholders. This was a moment of national importance. The first time a rail company had bought a canal company. A select committee on railway and canal amalgamation was appointed, as the implications of this became clear. If this canal had begun with little fanfare, its demise was marked by much greater interest. One of the last visitors to use the canal came from Canada, Elodia canadensis. Not the name of a boat, but of a perennial aquatic plant, Canadian pondweed. It probably arrived with one of the last boats that reached Oakham, the weed being first recorded in nearby rivers a year or two earlier. And it has, as you might be able to see, stayed the course. We should be close to the road again. Be careful when you cross, and when you're on the other side and have walked down to the left to pick up the canal again, that's where we'll go to the next track. You can keep walking as soon as it starts playing, but do stop where the water ends.